Though the new Nico Muhly opera, Dark Sisters, looks like a story from another century, the sisters in question are actually sister wives from a radical Church of Latter-day Saints splinter group. They dress like old-time pioneers, but are in fact 21st century women who are married to a single self-styled prophet. Commissioned by the Gotham Chamber Opera, the Opera Company of Philadelphia, and New York City's Music Theatre Group, the opera opens Friday at the Kimmel Center and promises to raise more than the expected social and moral questions. Coming off mixed reviews at last November's world premiere in New York, the opera's creators can't help but be under pressure to produce something more evolved for an audience that will include visiting delegates from the Opera America Conference. Now the Philadelphia Inquirer's David Patrick Stearns explores how mild-mannered prairie women might just be compelling opera heroines.
The lives of opera characters aren't always easy to comprehend. So it is with Dark Sisters, but not for the typical reasons. The characters look so Americana, but are also so remote, even strange. Of course, they're in anguish after a state raid in which their children are taken away, but less understandable is their obedience to their sanctimonious, polygamous husband. How would any composer find their way into the hearts and minds of such characters? For Nico Muhly, the 30-year-old hyper-intelligent urbanite who prolifically composes acclaimed orchestral works, ballets, and choral pieces, that journey was long.
I don't want to say I tried to imagine myself in their shoes, but it's more like I just tried to tell what their stories were from a narrative position that was close to them. Not necessarily in, but close.
I am to journey to the desert and pray. There I will receive guidance.
To write the prophet's music was difficult. It's so easy to go into like villain caricature, which I just didn't want to do, because that's not fair for us as East Coast people to be like, oh, you wacky polygamist. It was very important to me to not have this piece feel like a mockery of their lives and a mockery of their faith, because it's a faith that's actively lived, and their faith has completely structured their society. And as such, the way for me, the way to deal with it was by having the sort of compositional and the narrative platform be very close to the women and be very close to their personal and specific beliefs.
One of the recurrent idiosyncrasies in Dark Sisters is when the characters repeatedly tell each other, keep sweet. Not stay sweet, but keep sweet. Muhly and company had to carefully consider the range of meaning while setting it to music.
It doesn't actually necessarily translate as shut up. It translates as this other weird like self-preservation thing. Telling someone to keep sweet is simultaneously a chastisement, but also like a please stay with me, don't leave. If a mother acts out, it can put in peril the salvation of her children. And in a lot of cases, the other women in a family bond so heavily with all the children that for them, they sort of auto-correct sister wives who misbehave because they don't want any of the family being like compromised in heaven.
The bigger truths behind keeping sweet are stranger than fiction, even opera. In recent days, director Rebecca Teichman has revisited videos of the real-life sister wives appearing on talk shows to plead for the return of their children, just as they do in Act Two of Dark Sisters. The operatic counterparts generate plenty of pathos. The women they're based on were a bit more circumspect.
The women are trained in monotone. I get a shiver just thinking about it because it's one of the most painful things I've ever watched, those videos. You know, they talk like this, all of them, and it's measured and equal. You know, weight to each word, and it's very clear that it's a uniform value. Stillness, lack of expressivity, a kind of encoded way of speaking, which I think is a very tricky thing, I think, for a contemporary audience to, like, fold into in the spirit of the piece.
One criticism of the opera has been that the sameness of these women's lives translated into a kind of sameness in the opera. That was one observation from David Devan, the Opera Company of Philadelphia's general director, after the New York City premiere in November. But what the creative team does with this opinion is, he says, beyond his scope of authority.
The ball is moving down the court every time people get together. And that's a lot of moving parts when you're dealing with a rehearsal process and you're making changes as you go through that. So one of our big requirements as the producer is to make sure that the rehearsal system is fully resourced and well managed so that we're making incremental movement towards opening night.
Director Teichman has been in theatrical situations where the revisions became a radical overhaul, but Dark Sisters is not one of them. The opera is there, she says, but it needs to emerge a bit more definitely.
We put in a bunch of staging changes, and it was like, wow, you know, this really can grow in all kinds of exciting, subtle ways without, yeah, like it's not a seismic rethink. It's a nuanced and a subtle and a complicated, you know, very in-depth rethink with faith and trust in the piece as a whole.
Sometimes the events simply need to be scrunched together like books on a shelf, says Muley, in the kind of timing and pacing judgments that he could never have made in the privacy of his studio. Following the premiere, he cut 2.5 minutes from Act One. That may not sound like much.
2.5 minutes represents like a huge piece of real estate. I don't know of anyone who can judge that from a score, right? There's just no way to do it.
One culprit may have been the Gerald Lynch Theater at New York's John Jay College where the opera was premiered. For director Teichman, the Kimmel Center's Perlman Theater feels good in comparison.
Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm very excited to hear it in a acoustically welcoming space. The orchestra was very quiet at John Jay. I think vibrato was, I think, heightened there. I just think there were a lot of challenges to doing it in a space that wasn't built for opera.
Whatever the nature of the changes, few operas have not benefited from a second look. Devan is quick to point out that any number of John Adams' works weren't successful first time around, but after a few fallow years in a fresh production, were acclaimed as masterpieces. Dark Sisters could have a harder and stranger road, not because it's too radical, but too familiar. With any music as eclectic as Nico Muley's, you're likely to hear just the antecedents first time around, perhaps enjoy them, maybe a lot, but think mistakenly that you got the piece. And you don't need to go back to discover what's truly distinctive about it. And there are many distinctive elements in Dark Sisters. So, if this Philadelphia run has one goal, it's to present something that audiences aren't just interested in seeing, but will want to see again, and soon.
The Philadelphia Inquirer's David Patrick Stearns. The Opera Company of Philadelphia's production of Dark Sisters opens Friday at the Kimmel Center's Perlman Theater and runs through June 17th.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.